I call this meeting of Sylvania City Council for September 19th, 2022 to order. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Frye?
Here.
Mr. Hanson? Absent. Mr. Hanam?
Here.
Mr. McCann?
Here.
Mr. Richardson?
Here.
Ms. Stowe?
Here.
Mrs. Westphal?
Here.
Mr. Hanson is excused. He informed me yesterday that he is ill. Six members of council are here, and so a forum does exist. I welcome our guests this evening. You're all on the agenda. Meet your groups are, so please join us in our pledge of allegiance. Pledge this meeting by Mr. Hay.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Additions to the agenda, I would like to add, for whatever turns out to be the last agenda item, an executive session to discuss litigation. Mr. Frye?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Members of City Council? Mr. Sanford?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Schreier?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Chief Miller?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Aller?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Or Mrs. Bryant?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
So the executive session will be agenda item 17. If that is there, a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
So moved. Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries and our agenda is approved for this evening. Agenda item 4 is approval of meeting minutes from our last meeting on September the 6th. Mr. Frye.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to move adoption and approval of the meeting minutes for the council meeting of September 6, 2022 as submitted.
Second. And moved and seconded to approve those September 6th meeting minutes as submitted. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries and those meeting minutes are approved as submitted. And item 5, we are pleased to welcome back to our council chambers Mr. Rupke. You have an endorsement you're looking for tonight.
Mr. Mayor, I come back every 4 years to show up for somebody.
And we also have another council member. This is an austere group.
I think I'm prepared to start. Thanks for having us. Ready to use the.
See you again, Jason.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The mic so that you can hear me. Okay.
Yeah.
Panel. So first, thanks for having us on the agenda tonight. As you said earlier, I'm here with Mr. Luki and Erica Burry. We're going to talk about the Orlando Park system and the levee replacement that's up this year. The goal here is just to make sure that everyone's informed of the work that's going on. If you have any questions from members of the community, you have a little bit more information that you can answer those questions with. So first, a little bit about the Orlando Park system, also known as TOPS, which you may already know that is a special park district that serves the Sylvania School District. And the parks include Orlando Park, Sylvania Prairie Park, Fossil Park, Wheatstone Park, and the Sylvania Oak Savannah. And it's worth noting that the parks, TOPS, is a separate entity from the Sylvania City Parks and the Sylvania Recreation and the Toledo Metro Parks. So you may all know that as, you know, custodians of the city parks, but as people ask about that, then they may not know that. And also, because it's a special park district, it is funded by a five-year levy and for the Sylvania School District residents, and that five-year levy is up to be for expiration on December 31st of this year, 2022. The value of that levy is 0.8 mils, and what's being proposed is a replacement, so it will not be a new tax. And just some facts and figures around the replacement. The average homeowner, as we understand it, the average valued home of $250,000, the average owner would pay $56 annually in tax to support the park district. So Erica's here to talk a little bit more about the park itself and how the money's been spent over the last 5 years. So I'll hand it off to her.
All right, thank you. So just
You know, we passed a levy in 2017. At that time, it was an increase. We hadn't had an increase in about 15 years, and so it was time. And in that time frame, since 2017, we have done a lot of improvements to our parks. One of the first things we did was to wrap up our master plan so that we would have a good path forward for what kind of development we wanted to do in our parks. One of the other things that we did in that time span was a strategic plan, and that strategic plan involved a lot of community engagement in terms of surveys and stakeholder groups to kind of help get the community on board and also find out what they were really looking for from us. So with both of those pieces of information, we designed a new mission, which really our mission always has been, but is more succinctly to get the community outdoors, to connect people with nature. And so some of the ways we worked towards doing that this year were to improve the sledding hill at Sylvan Prairie Park. We also built a walking trail at Olander Park. That's a new loop that goes right around the park, so you're not on the road anymore. We created a walking trail at Whetstone Park. That neighborhood has zero sidewalks, so that has been a huge asset to that neighborhood over by Prometica Wellness Center. And we were out there on Saturday and just got glowing reviews from the neighbors who came to our event on Saturday about that development. What else have we done? We put in a new playscape at Olander Park. And just this past year, put in a brand new shelter and also reconstructed the ramp into Fossil Park, which was about 22 years old and was showing its age, so needed a little bit of an upgrade. We continue to make plans going forward based, again, on our strategic plan and all of those stakeholder inputs, including construction of a extension of the University Parks Trail from Centennial Road to Sylvan Prairie Park, slated for 2025. We're working on the planning aspects of that now. We'll be looking for additional grant dollars for that. Certainly, you know, we wouldn't want to, nor would we be able to pay for that whole project ourselves, but we do our best to garner levy or grant dollars with the tax dollars that we are granted. Those are some of the big projects we have coming up. We'll be doing some other, we don't have a lot of backlog maintenance things, but there are some improvements in bathrooms that we could make. We're looking at putting a parking lot at the south end of Sylvan Prairie Park so there would be an entrance on Sylvania Avenue. We can get ODOT funds for that as part of our ORC status. So we're looking forward to really exciting next 5 years, and this levy will help us do that. Okay.
Erica, I just wonder before I go on, we have information in front of each of you about the levy and about the park's performance over the last 5 years, but any specific questions for Erica before I close? Thank you, Mark.
So this is a replacement levy, is that correct?
That's correct, sir.
So the 0.8 mils being replaced would readjust for the new property.
That's correct.
What the change has been since the levy was passed 5 years ago.
That's correct, yeah.
And the $56 is based upon the $250,000 house, whatever that home is, in the school district.
That's correct. And that is a $6 increase from our previous levy. So that same house value in our current levy, our current 8 mils, contributes about $50 to our park district. So it's $6 more. Yes, it's 0.8 mils. It's 0.8 mils. It is $6 more. $6 more contributed towards the park. You're welcome. Any other questions?
So I'm here to cover the political side of the house. The levy is going to be aggressively campaigned for over the next 2 months. We've brought back the Citizens for Olander Levy Committee, which has been responsible for passing levies at Olander since the beginning. I'm co-chairing that along with Jason and Bonnie Hunter, who some of you know. Gail Abood has been our finance chair for the last 25 years, and she will continue to do that job as well. She's a almost as tough as Toby as far as getting things past the auditor, you know. And the committee also includes people who you probably know from the community. Betty Bassett from Five Lakes Church is in charge of volunteers. We had a massive showing of people out over the weekend at the events at Olander to put little stickers on kids and voters. Nate Light is in charge of social media. Laura Jakes, who I think you know, is doing marketing. And Sandy Lukey is the board member representative to the committee. We're about 60% of the way toward raising a budget of $10,000. We have asks that will bring us up to that $10,000 still in place. Brian Keiser is helping us with that fundraising, so if you know him, you know that that's in good hands. And that'll go to fund a full court press campaign that includes yard signs, mail, advantage advertising. I didn't just add that, that was in the copy here. And presence at a number of community events. So you'll see us out at the Fall Festival and the Farmers Market and so on. So specifically, we are asking for major endorsements from a variety of community organizations. We go tomorrow afternoon and talk to the township trustees. We're hoping to get an audience with the school board. But we hope that tonight this information will be helpful for you to provide some support in the most appropriate way you feel you can. That could include Mr. Fry passing a council resolution to support issue 6. Mayor Stowers told me that he's already personally supported the levy, and we would individually ask as members of council that you could provide your endorsement as well. So, thank you for the time. We appreciate anything that might come out of here in terms of legislation and or individual support. Thank you very much.
Questions from members of City Council?
Give me a form to endorse it. If you can.
It'll be on your desk
in the morning. Or in my email tonight.
Well, you can just send an email.
I can. Okay, I'll do that.
Do we send it to you?
Okay. Don't send it to Mike.
Send it where?
Don't send it to the city.
I know that.
Mark, you know that all over the game.
Okay. So, Mrs. Branning, I asked you this evening to pass around. In fact, I think both Mr. Mishka and Mr. Lukey were on council when we passed the resolution on our endorsement policy. Could you, or members of council, review that briefly?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Fry, and I'm sure Mr. Lukey and Mr. Mishka remember. If you look at Section 1 in Resolution 16-2012, the policy for City of Slovenia Council to endorse a levy, there's the criteria set forth. The tax issue seeking an endorsement must send a formal request at least 30 days. Financial summary of the organization should accompany the request and be prepared to discuss the impact the levy will have on the citizens of Slovenia. So those are the official criteria that council adopted as its policy to consider levy endorsements back in 2012.
Okay, so in your opinion, clearly we've had the third.
Yes.
For this particular request,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming we had the first since we had the Parks District
yes.
on the agenda, right?
Right.
So the question is, do we have a financial summary of the third bullet point?
That is, we're not very specific about that.
I understand
by design
that. That's why
and
I'm
policy.
Asking the law director the question.
and that's up for council's interpretation. If you feel that they've presented enough information to that you feel comfortable, or if you would like them to provide you more information, we still do have time at the October meeting to pass. October 3rd is the next council meeting to pass a resolution. And frankly, I don't have the resolution prepared for passage tonight anyway. So that would be the first time you could ask them.
I'm assuming that's not an issue to get that information.
Yeah.
I know I've seen it in the past, but it's not.
Yeah, Mr. Frye, we specifically asked for an early date to come and visit with you because we thought that there may be some questions that would require follow-up. So this is not, I don't think this is problematic at all. We can send that over to you this week. If you get it on the agenda at your next council meeting, it will give us a good part of the month of October, which, since the election is late this year, would be about a month to use that in our campaign materials. So that would be very helpful. Thank you.
I'm comfortable, given the long history that the Olander Park system has. Are there other questions? I guess before I go any further, are there concerns or questions about this from other members of council?
I think it was helpful, Mr. Frye, to have the policy back in front of us, or the ordinance back in front of us. I do think that Mr. Lutke actually was the author of that particular.
He was not.
So I think that I feel, you know, comfortable to move forward if we're going to, once we've got the financial reports and we feel comfortable with that.
If council is, obviously this data is easily available and probably will be in our email boxes tomorrow morning, I would assume. So in light of that thought process, I would be prepared to make a motion and subject to receiving that information that council asks the administration to prepare the resolution.
I would like to ask a quick question of Mrs. Brining. Do we actually need a formal motion to have the resolution prepared without having seen the financials? We still technically are missing a piece here.
Actually, I have a quick question on it, which financials do you need? Because I did send you all the annual reports this year. And I don't know if that counts.
When?
At home. It did arrive at home. That's what you're referencing. Yes, you did.
Yeah. So you all received our annual report at home?
Oh, yeah. We did.
Yep.
But you really don't think that I sent it to us on the email. There's no possible way I saw that in my inbox. I'm sorry. It'd be much quicker and cleaner that way than digging through all my papers and stuff to try to find this thing.
Well, that's what I
do.
But not if you send it to him at home.
This is too much information, but my wife puts stuff in a box and eventually I go through it, so.
Yes, I'm happy to get that.
Okay.
So it's not a concern either way. I guess we could just turn it in.
The motion
we didn't
is
have it.
Just
yeah.
To
have it prepared.
Prepare the
yep.
Legislation.
Yep.
All right. There's a motion on the floor to have the administration prepare a resolution of support for the Olander Park System levy for consideration at our meeting October the 3rd. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. We'll have that resolution ready and on the agenda.
Great.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Check your email.
Jason and Erica and Mark for coming in and spending the time.
If you don't mind, I'm a little library.
All right. We are ready to move ahead in the agenda to agenda item 6. We are very pleased to welcome Sylvania resident Jason Kuchma, Executive Director, Physical Officer of the Toledo Library, to present about a district-wide
evening, everyone. Aside from council member stuff, I might be the only person who lost tonight's meeting.
Thank you all for the time this evening. As Mayor mentioned, I am the Executive Director of the Toledo Lucas County Public Library. I'm here in my capacity right now as a lifetime member of the Friends of the Library support group, our political action committee, 501c4, that handles the library's levy campaign each year. I'm here tonight to talk about the library's operating renewal levy. It is a renewal, not a new tax, 3.7 mil, which does make up more than 55% of the library's operating budget. that 55%, that 3.7 mil, is a community investment in more than 3 million visitors each year. It's a community investment in our 20 locations and mobile services that provide over 1,000 hours of service to Lucas County residents throughout the year. That is a community investment in serving over 300,000 library cardholders each year. We have a goal to reach 95% of Lucas County residents having a library card in their hands by the end of 2026. It's also a community investment in to ensure access to over 2 million physical items that the library circulates throughout the county, and over 1 million digital items, including audiobooks, ebooks, streaming movies, and television shows. It's also a community investment in more than 3,000 programs that the library offers each year, free of charge to the public. That ranges everything from story times for kids, to cooking classes, to job and resume help, to support for small businesses and nonprofits. On top of all that, I mean, I don't want to go through a long list of all the things we do, but it is also a community investment in the infrastructure of the library. Those 20 locations, we invite our community partners to do what they do best. So the library's strategic priorities right now are to do what we do really well, which is teaching kids how to read, helping students succeed, helping adults expand their horizons, and being a community hub. But on top of that, we that community infrastructure invites our community partners to do what they do best. For example, working with the Ohio Department of Health and the Lucas County Department of Health to distribute over 150,000 COVID test kits over the last couple of years. That's also working with TutorSmart to provide tutoring opportunities for students after school throughout Lucas County, starting this fall after a very successful pilot that we had this summer. That is also partnering, and not many folks know this, with the Lucas County Auditor to provide dog licenses to protect our pups throughout the county. That is a community investment in the infrastructure that supports the Ohio Governor's Imagination Library. We work with the First Lady and the Ohio Governor's Imagination Library Foundation to get children signed up for the Imagination Library program, which puts delivers books to kids every month from ages 0 to 5. We took that program over last fall from the United Way to administer that work. We also work with Owens Community College and Penta to offer ESL, HSOL, and GRE classes, or GED courses. And we also leverage our partnerships with other public libraries throughout the state and colleges and universities so that not in addition to the 2 million physical items we have here, our partnerships with libraries throughout the state gives people in Sylvania and Lucas County access to more than 60 million physical items throughout the state, free of charge, delivered to the library. We're able to do this through sound fiscal management of the public dollars that we've been asked to steward. That includes being awarded the Government Finance Officers Association Award for Excellence in Reporting for more than 27 years in a row. And that thoughtful approach to our fiscal management yields means that for every dollar that's invested in the public library, we deliver $3 in valued services to the community members. And we know that we have a really great track record. We've got a great story. Lots of community support, but we also don't take that for granted. And so we come back to the community every 5 years to show our work and ask for continued support. And that's why I'm here tonight, to sort of ask the Sylvania City Council members' support for this levy, whether it's through a resolution of endorsement of the entire council or individual endorsements, as we've already received an individual endorsement from the mayor for this initiative. And I'd be glad to answer any questions you all have.
Jason, I'm sure you said it or it appears in here, but in the quick review, I didn't
sure.
see it. What is the millage that you're asking for, and what would be the annual cost for an
Thank you. It's 3.7 mil of renewal, not a new, no additional millage. Net is about $92.58 for a house of $100,000.
I don't have a question, but I have a quick comment. This is very timely having these presentations today because I happen to have a book on loan at the moment called Palaces for the People, which is all about the importance of social infrastructure, including libraries and parks. So very timely in my life to be seeing these presentations.
I appreciate you mentioning that, Councilmember Stiles. That book is phenomenal. I've been handing it out to folks for the last couple of years because it really does. It talks about the social infrastructure that we need to both enhance the lives of everyone, but also help the folks that may need more help help up. It's phenomenal. We often talk about the library as a palace for the people, and our parks are as well.
I just renewed it again because I need a little more time to go look over some.
Take your time. We don't have fines anymore either.
We are fortunate in Sylvania to have two very modern branches of the Oviedo Lucas County Library System within our corporate limits. We appreciate that, and I assume they're quite busy libraries.
tremendously. And we're seeing, you know, after the pandemic, it's taken some time. We reopen much faster than people think. You know, I still have people asking, when did the library open? We were really only closed during the pandemic proper for about 40 days, reopening for computer access, because we knew throughout the county there were at least probably 20% of our residents in Lucas County did not have access to broadband at home or the technology to use it. So that was a priority for us to get reopened as quickly as possible. And that's, you know, that's throughout the entire county. I hold both of those buildings in deep regard because they're both projects I worked on early on in my career as the deputy director here at the library.
Seeing no further questions from members of council, Mr. Fry, how would you like to proceed on this?
I do note that there's some financial information attached here, how they will spend the funds for the levy.
I have included, I believe, 6-year projections for our budget. That includes.
It also includes revenues.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Mr. Mayor, fortunately or unfortunately, depending on your perspective, I have a conflict on this one. So if there's going to be a vote, because I was under a contract with the library system, so I need to respect the table.
Is there a, you don't need for this.
Right.
Is there a motion to prepare a resolution of support of endorsement for this levy?
So moved.
Second.
I moved and seconded to prepare a resolution of support for the library levy. Mr. Fry has indicated he has a conflict of interest. Will council have a motion to allow him to push back from the table?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. First voting on that. All in favor of letting Mr. Fry push back, indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So let the record show that. And then the motion that's on the floor to prepare a resolution of support for the library levy. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and we will have that resolution ready for council's consideration at our October 3rd meeting.
Thank you so much, Mayor.
Thanks for coming.
I have another quick question, Mr. Mayor. You know, I'm quickly just getting a chance to review all this. So you may have heard this, 55% of the library's entire operating budget is acquired through this levy?
Correct, correct. The other 45%, you didn't ask, but is through the Public Library Fund, which is a very unique funding mechanism that we have in the state of Ohio that very few other states have in the country, where 1.7% of the general revenue fund that comes into Columbus is distributed to the 251 public library systems throughout the state. That's why Ohio libraries are the best.
And all the times that needs to be defended. Professor went down to Columbus, and I'm sure you're doing well.
Absolutely, all year long, yeah. Thank you very much, I appreciate it.
See you guys.
All right, that moves us up to agenda item 7. We're also pleased to have the Executive Director of the Sylvania Area Chamber of Commerce, Tiffany Scott, here tonight to give us an update on Sylvania Gateway signage.
Good evening, everyone. Okay, good evening. Thank you for having me here today. So this is just a quick update to inform you. Our Sylvania Chamber created a foundation earlier this year, springtime, and we're really excited. We have an amazing group of trustees a part of that. And our first project is a gateway signage project. This started many years ago. I'm just kind of seeing it through. The initial spot for this sign will take place heading north to Central Avenue, and it will be on the left-hand side. It's 21 feet long and 8 feet high, and not including the base and all the landscaping around it. Our committee on our last page is recognized. We have members from the Sylvania Township, the city, ProMedica Health and Wellness. They report from our foundation boards. We have a great group of individuals on this. We had design work by Danny Fuller of Fuller Art House. I selected her as the designer, knowing that she did the design for the city, and we want a complimentary look. So I'm bringing this to you all tonight for consideration as you receive drawings moving forward for the Monroe Street or additional signage here in the city, that we can have a very unified and uniform look for the city and the township to really represent the Sylvania area together. So there is a page that has additional opportunities. I've had some light conversations with individuals to hopefully place more of these signs. I'm in the bidding process right now. I anticipate the sign on Central Avenue to be anywhere from $50,000 to $75,000. It could increase based on maintenance agreements by the landscaping companies. Those are just very loose numbers at this point in time. This will be all privately funded, similar to how we did the lighting project a few years ago. So it's all private donations. Any questions on it? It's just a quick overview for all of you.
I'm sure you're shocked if you have any questions. So I'm trying to make sure that I have this physically in my, especially my brain. So if I'm looking at the page where you're showing me Central Avenue.
Yes. So in that, on that map, you'll see Central Avenue on the top. On the right would be where Bob Evans is. And then where the sign is Salon Institute. So it is strategically placed on the opposite side of the road that you were driving on. There are no signs. There's a lot of directional signs, the food signs. You know, it says Chick-fil-A you can find on this exit, which is great, but we are going to be competing with those signs. So putting it on the opposite side of the road, there's already some landscaping there as you're driving up. It is in clear view. We actually had a team out there walking. We measured it, we staked it out, and we drove by at least five times to say, yes, we can see that clearly. It's going to really represent our community. And that is also the Sylvania area. If you put it on the other side, we're saying welcome to Sylvania, and we're sending them to Toledo. So that north east side, as you're facing, will definitely represent the Sylvania area. Did that help?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I thought it showed, but I just wanted to verify that. So the length of the actual sign is 21.5 feet, and the height is 8 of the actual sign, not the base, correct?
Correct. So that is an aluminum panel. They will paint this. I've worked with Allen Industries to help give us the best material possible. They are the experts in this. The stonework, we are working on redesigning slightly. I've worked with Kevin and Joe to kind of get some start of what the Monroe Street Bridge possibly could look like. So we want that stonework to be very complementary. Ultimate goal is to have more of these signs placed throughout the community, near Monroe Street, over on Mitchell and the roundabouts, really welcoming in all the visitors to Sylvania.
So this is owned, this land is owned by ODOT, is that correct, Kevin?
Yes.
So they don't have any concern about the sign?
No, they'll need to get a permit with ODOT, and we've had meetings with ODOT officials in the meetings, and they're kind of aware this is coming. We'll ultimately have to file a permit to be able to get it.
Because there's one in Perrysburg. I mean, I'm sure we've all seen it going down 475 right before you get to the Perrysburg right there, when you turn off the left.
Yeah.
This would actually be on the opposite side.
Correct. And it's the individuals also from the township believe it might be even easier to pass through ODOT because it is on the opposite side of the road. You're not as concerned about a car veering off like they would be in Perrysburg. It's a safety hazard where it is. We want to make sure that ours is not a safety hazard and can still be very visible without barriers.
This may be a process question, but will this, does this go through the architectural board of review? Is it
not on Central Avenue? It's well outside our city limits. However, we did have in front of city council a couple of years ago possible bridge identification on the road street. This would go through our architectural review committee. And at this time, we were talking about a design for this big item in the center of this wavy fence. I think that the intention would be that we'd be using this design up on the bridge.
Or complimentary, similar metals, fonts, sizing can be different, might not have the tree outline, but very complimentary while you're selecting designs and materials.
Coming solid on US 23, I think the bridge is the right location for it. And I was in Worthington, Ohio over the weekend, and I really like having that signage up on the bridge and the big black wavy fence that goes across with it. That is what we should be doing. But I very much appreciate what the chamber has been leaning on to not say welcome to the city of Sylvania, not say welcome to Sylvania Township, but welcome to Sylvania. That's the right message. So thank you for that leadership.
Of course. Thank you. Any other questions?
I just am curious, Mr. Mayor. I know that we haven't made any decisions. Of course, this is way premature, but I definitely hope as we look at our own city signage that we'll be incorporating our new logo. And it's interesting that she, Danny, I'm curious what she would have said about incorporating some other colors. I'd love to hear her thoughts on the browns.
Yeah, and I can send you, she has a full packet for us that she gave it. So yes, I can follow up with that.
I have a quick question. Are there any plans for this to be lit, or is the area this is being placed already well lit enough that it would be visible?
We will have lighting. It's going to be solar lighting facing upwards on it. There's no electricity and there's no water, so that is part of the increase in pricing and budgets. We have to make sure that it is all feasible, but yes, there will be lighting on it to be visible at all times. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Tiffany, we appreciate the update. And you.
Thanks, Tiffany.
That moves us on to agenda item 8. You have in front of you an annual resolution. This is necessary to accept the amounts and rates as determined by the Budget Commission for necessary tax levies and certifying them to be to the county auditor. Mr. Schroyer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is something that we bring before you every year to pass this resolution for the county. The rates are exactly the same. The dollar amount to be collected has gone up $140,000. That's simply due to the valuations of the properties. So if there's any questions, otherwise we would recommend passage of this.
Mr. Schroyer,
The
$140,000, that's because of the increase in property value. That's impacting the inside millage, not the outside millage, correct?
It's actually affecting the outside millage.
It's affecting the outside millage. Okay, so
I have backwards. Yes.
Okay.
And the three different areas that this money goes into is the general fund, operating budget, the city's portion of the police pension, and then another amount goes into our bond retirement fund. Those are the three funds that are affected.
There's no questions. Mr. Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce resolution number 10-2022, and I will read by title only. Resolution accepting the amounts of the rates as determined by the Budget Commission authorizing the necessary tax levies and certifying them to the county auditor. I move passage of resolution number 10-2022 as an emergency measure.
Second. It has been moved and seconded for passage of resolution number 10-2022 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and resolution 10-2022 is enacted as an emergency measure. Agenda item 9. This is accepting an amendment to the proposal of Reveille. We had a first reading of that at the previous council meeting. If there's any questions, we can handle now, but we'd like to have a second reading and final vote on this one tonight. I believe that Councilman Stiles would like to push back from the table as she did 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
Is there a motion to allow her to push back as a property owner within the district?
So, second.
A
Moved and seconded, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We have ordinance 82-2022 for a second reading and perhaps final passage. Mr. Frommer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance 82-2022 for a second reading, and I will read by title only. Accepting the amendment to the proposal of Revely Limited to provide additional economic development planning services to study the feasibility of creating a tax increment financing district, appropriating funds therefore in an amount not to exceed $5,000. I move final passage of ordinance number 82-2022 as an emergency measure.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that for ordinance number 82-2022 to be approved as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance number 82-2022 is enacted as an emergency measure. Thank you, let the record show, Councilmember Stiles, back at the table. Moving to agenda item 10, we have ordinance 84-2022. This is to amend the development agreement with First Brookside LLC for the property on Main Street just north of Maplewood that is known as Inside the Five. This is Brian.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As you all know, back in 2020, the offer to purchase of First Brookside was approved, and we closed on that last year. Due to the pandemic and a lot of other delays, they are asking for an extension of the development agreement, extension of time in the development agreement to complete their improvements. The development agreement that was attached to the ordinance, I left another amendment to the amendment at your seats, and in speaking with the Inside Five's attorney today, they are requesting additional time to start construction and then complete the project. They would like to start by June 1st of this year. They have begun, or I'm sorry, 2023. They have begun work on their site plans. They've done a lot of work, and Kevin and Joe have reviewed it, and if you'd like an update on my process, I'm sure he can get that to you. I believe it's their intent to get started as soon as possible. They are concerned that because of any supply chain issues that they would get started and we're going to be able to complete it within the time frame required, and because of the buyback provision that's still included in the agreement, that's what they're concerned about. So they are asking until June of 2025 to have everything completed.
June of 2025.
Correct. They would start June, they are required to start by June 2023 and have it completed June 2025.
And if they don't start by the date in the agreement, in June of 2023, then we still have the right to repurchase it at the original purchase price?
That's correct.
So, assuming we approve this for a moment, it is supposed to be completed before June 30th, 2025. So, in July 1st, June 30th, 2025 is the completion date. If they're not completed, and it's July 1st, 2025 now,
then we can repurchase it for the 180 plus whatever they have. Whatever they spent for the improvement. So if they've invested $100,000 and they've just sold, then they have to leave.
But if they've invested $1 million in construction costs,
right? Then we're
well, we either let them sit on it forever and ever, or we're stuck. Right. 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 That's the deal we've already done.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so this is just extending those deadlines.
That's correct.
I'm good with this.
You know, in fairness, they've tried to build during a pandemic and that has slowed everything down.
Yeah.
construction industry.
I do not like the look of a permanent parking lot there either. It's working well for them, but that's not what the final deal should look like.
I'm excited for the final deal.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the administration has been working with their designer on maintaining the width of the right of way there. City Council appropriately, I think, allowed them to put a deck out from the existing building, could push the existing building back. But the new building can be pushed back, and they're going to preserve the right of way width there in front of their new construction. And that has caused some negotiating.
What is going to result?
I believe it has, verbally. I haven't seen it going yet. Kevin, do you have an update on that?
You don't have to. I will say it's been verbally.
There you go.
Is there a, I guess, you know, I'm not in construction, but definition of starting construction by June 30th, 2023, what does start construction look like?
It's not in the one. There is not one in the agreement, but I will certainly include one.
There are a lot of regulatory definitions.
There are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think she answered, having an everything permit, having a building permit on record, and beginning excavations for foundations would make sense.
I think it's a follow-up to Mr. Richards' question is, what does the word completion mean in regards to construction?
They're sitting inside their computer.
I am supposed to say that, but I mean, you know.
There's a term called substantial completion in the construction industry. That's probably what we're talking about. That means that it's approved by local building authority or occupancy in its intended purpose.
So that would be UCC driven, uniform permitting code, right? Okay.
Mr. Mayor, if I could just add something, I've been in contact with the owners, and their intent, as soon as their plans are finalized, to start the construction. And what you probably picked up in the conversation, the administration has met with them, and they're going to have to adjust the plan based on where things are located. So I think they understand that now, so they're going to, you know, work on and get the plans finalized, and as soon as they have that, they're going to start construction there. They want to get this going. They're very anxious to get it going.
All right. Any further discussion? If not, you do have ordinance 84-2022 in front of you to accept this amendment to the agreement. Mr. Fry.
Okay. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 84-2022 and read by title only. Authorizing the mayor and director of finance to enter into an amended restated development agreement on behalf of the city of Sylvania with First Brookside LLC for the property located at 5705-711 North Main Street, Sylvania, Ohio. I move passage of ordinance number 84-2022 as an emergency measure.
Second. I move that seconded for passage of ordinance 84-2022 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 84-2022 is enacted as an emergency measure. Agenda item 11 is to approve a banner across Main Street for the Sylvania Area Chamber of Commerce Fall Festival. I didn't have it in my council packet, an actual application which would have shown the banner proposed. I'm sure it's similar to previous years. Mr. Allen, do we have that banner application?
I can't answer that for certain, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. This is something that we've done for several years. I don't think there's a problem.
I think it's the same.
All right.
Yeah, just make a change.
This is a pretty straightforward one. Mr. Hayman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of ordinance number 85-2022. I will read the ordinance by title only, approving the banner application of the Sylvania Area Chamber of Commerce, authorizing the zoning administrator to indicate such approval on behalf of the City of Sylvania and I move adoption of ordinance number 85 of 2022 as an emergency measure.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded for passage of ordinance 85, 2022 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 85, 2022 is enacted as an emergency measure. Agenda item 12 is to take a look at the calendar for next year. The city calendar is very much in the works and proceeding. We want to get this done in time so those dates can be confirmed and included on the community calendar. Mrs. Booker has done the work on this. Any changes this year, Mrs. Booker, that you want to make us aware of?
Since they did the Juneteenth as a holiday, we have moved our Juneteenth into the future.
That would be the second meeting in June, on June 19th. That would be a holiday, so we move it to June 20th.
Correct.
Also, another item of note on here will be setting trick or treat. That will also be included in our calendar. First motion I will need to vote on is to approve the proposed schedule of regular meetings with the City of Sylvania Planning Commission and City Council. Mr. Frommer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll make a motion to approve the City of Sylvania Council meetings and Municipal Planning Commission and Board of Zoning Appeals meetings as submitted in the packet that we received.
Second. And move that second is to approve this schedule of regular meetings for the year 2023. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next is the setting of trick or treat 2023. This is never without controversy. We have for many years chosen to have Halloween on Halloween. So I can tell you every year we get requests to put it on Saturday night or Sunday night. The only time I recall changing it was when the Northview-Southview football game was in a conflict. That doesn't happen anymore because there were playoffs by then. And what happened that year is we had neighboring communities coming into our community that night. Most people in the area try to set the date as the actual Halloween night. And I believe that will be a Tuesday. Well, I recommend we set trick-or-treat for next year as October 31st. And it doesn't say here on here, but it's normally from 5:30 to 7 o'clock. 6 to 7:30, excuse me. Mr. Frommer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll make a motion to set the 2023 trick-or-treat time from October 31st from 6 to 7:30 p.m.
Second. I move and seconded to set Halloween for 2023 on Halloween 6 to 7:30. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Turning to page 2 of our agenda item 13. We have a liquor permit here that's come in for Roosters, which is down on Monroe Street in front of the Health and Wellness Center. This one is coming all the way from Grand Creek Pikes, Ohio. Any insight on that, Chief?
We've done some checking on the company and the person that submitted the request, and we have no concerns.
This might have been in safekeeping down there. Yeah. We're moving it up here then. Okay.
It's nice to get a booster.
Yeah, please. All right. Is there a motion, Mr. Fry, not to request a local hearing?
Yeah. I'll make a motion to not request a local hearing for the transfer of the liquor permit from Wine Dine Grandview LLC to Metro North Pennsylvania LLC for D1, D2, D3, D3A, and D6 liquor permit.
Second. Moved and seconded not to request a local hearing. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Agenda item 14. We have a letter
in your packets that came into the mayor's office. I think this is an admirable goal that's come in from the River Road Garden Club. They are asking for permission and a bit of funding to install a memorial for both Gold Star and Blue Star families here in the community. Leslie, or, do you have any more insight on this? Or Bill, I'm sorry.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, just that I think the big ask is to have this in our community. And the secondary was if there's a financial support, but I think they've been raising money. And we're wondering if, and they mentioned in the letter, that it would go to, or an appropriate spot would be Veterans Memorial Park. But I think the thought was by the administration's had this, you know, go to committee to review and come back with a recommendation.
That's the ask. They're asking for $830 from the city, plus permission to do it. This is what Paul was thinking about referring this to your committee as community relations. I don't think this is in any way controversial. I certainly support this sort of thing. A Gold Star family.
We don't.
I don't think any of us are in this. Gold Star and Blue Star, this is a special project that's underway by the garden clubs throughout America. You can refer to your committee, you can discuss it with your committee members without any committee meeting on it, and bring it back to the next meeting, and we can have the appropriate legislation. We don't have it prepared tonight.
That's fine. I wonder if we could just have the committee meet 15 minutes before our next meeting, without this or 20, just to have a discussion on it quickly.
Mr. Sanford?
Mary and I can get, we can reach out to Nancy Cole, and I'm sure she'd be glad to come. She's very enthusiastic about it.
I think we're going to have a 15-minute meeting, but just to make sure we've all sat down, and if there's anything that surfaces, make sure it's there. But I know we've already got a meeting, a public hearing, at the next meeting. My calendar's so cleanly written, I can't figure out what time it's at. 6:30?
I don't have a little meeting at 6:30.
Okay. Oh, that's because I'm at October. I'm at October 17th, and the next meeting would be October 3rd, though.
Yeah, that public hearing is on the
17th. 17th, I got the wrong thing.
This we can schedule 7:15.
7:15 on October 3rd, if that works for the committee members.
Is the hope that a location would be discussed at this meeting?
It sounds like it in here. Mm-hmm. I think so. I want to make sure I know who's on that committee. That's Marcus, Doug, Patrick, and myself.
My understanding is we're putting this at Veterans Memorial Field back to North End to hold our Memorial Day services. But we should confirm that.
Again, I think we just need to read the letter carefully. I'm not sure we're
the discussion. Let's have a motion to refer this to the Community Relations Committee and set a Community Relations Committee meeting for 7:15 on October the 3rd.
I'll move. Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. Committee reports for committee referrals at this time. Hearing none, I would like to have a motion to go into executive committee, the whole executive session, to discuss litigation. So moved.
Second.
Would the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Frye?
Yes.
Mr. Hanum?
Yes.
Mr. McCann?
Yes.
Mr. Richardson?
Yes.
Ms. Stowe?
Yes.
Mrs. Westfall?
Yes.
All right. Let's Chuck tells me we're all set. We are all set. Let's discuss litigation. Is there a motion to leave executive session and committee of the whole?
So moved.
So moved. Second.
Moved and seconded. We need the clerk to call the roll.
Oh, we need to have the recording system on for this?
We do, Phil's probably getting chopped. All right, we are, City Council has returned to open session. I can tell you that only matters concerning litigation were discussed in executive session. No action was taken during executive session, and there are no actions to be taken at this time as a result of the executive session. That brings us to the end of our...
Mr. Mayor, I think we have to do a roll call to come out, don't we?
I thought we did.
No.
We didn't, okay. We'll do that, and then I'll have my little speech.
Sorry.
Moved by McCann and seconded by Hanum. The roll call, Mr. Frye?
Yes.
Mr. Hanum?
Yes.
Mr. McCann?
Yes.
Mr. Richardson?
Yes.
Ms. Bell?
Yes.
Mrs. Wessel?
Yes.
Now we are officially back in open session. There is no action to take at this time as a result of the discussions of litigation in executive session. We are at the end of our agenda. If there's no further actions or issues to be considered at this time, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and this council stands adjourned until its next meeting on Monday, October the 3rd at 7:30 p.m. Thank you all for staying with us.